There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Longer term, it's about ISIL's vision. This is an organization that has an apocalyptic end of days strategic vision.
That goes back to our double standard of just assuming that the woman or the mother is the only necessary gender in a child's life, as though men are not contributing anything more than his sperm and his wallet.
These pathologies are shallow music, shallow worship that, because it has a manipulative emotional element, is mistakenly perceived as a rich encounter with the Holy Spirit.
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues Etc.
Not many people go door to door anymore. Christian witnessing kind of had, they had its heyday there in the 70s and 80s of knocking doors, ringing doorbells, going from door to door, asking the diagnostic questions, the Kennedy questions. But the only ones really going door to door, and even I hear that Mormons have kind of stopped it out on their mission trips. The only ones going door to door are the Jehovah's Witnesses. You can almost be certain that if you hear the doorbell ring and there's someone there, a pair of someone's there at your front door, and you don't recognize them, well, they're either selling magazines or they're Jehovah's Witnesses. Why are they there? What are they there to tell you? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to talk about the beliefs and practices of Jehovah's Witnesses. Here in the first few minutes of the program, Paul Solek joins us. Then Pastor Todd Kohlbaum will be with us to talk about the Apostles' Creed and Christian witness. Bill Weinrich will join us for an extended conversation on 5th century Bishop of Hippo in North Africa, St. Augustine, and his mother, Monica. They're both remembered on this day and tomorrow. And then Pastor Jeff Hemmer will be alongside for the last few minutes to answer the question, where is the true church? Joining us to talk about the beliefs and practices of Jehovah's Witnesses, Paul Solek. He's cantor at St. John's Lutheran Church and School in Seward, Nebraska. He's authored an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Being a Jehovah's Witness. Paul, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, thanks so much, Todd.
It was last Saturday, Paul. My wife and I were sitting around about 10 o'clock in the morning drinking coffee, you know, got up late. There was a knock at the door. I go. Two very young, very attractive young ladies. I said, look, we just got up. We're still getting around. So they just passed me a pamphlet through the open door, said thank you, end of story, sat down, flipped it over. It says Watchtower on the back. I suspect you can answer this question. Who were those two young ladies at my door?
You have representatives of the Jehovah's Witnesses on your doorstep, for sure.
What did they come to my door for?
Well, what they're coming to do, as many door-to-door missionaries would say, they're coming to bring you what they believe to be the truth of their religion. In their case, the Jehovah's Witnesses, which over time has changed its name, and in the Watchtower Society, and is really their head of their publications and their communication arm of the sect known as the Jehovah's Witnesses.
What do they want to tell me when they come to the door? What's the message that they want to communicate to? They don't know me from Adam. What do they want to say when they come to a person's door?
Well, there'll be a lot of things that they'll want to say. Probably the most interesting thing is what they don't want to say. But really, where they're going to go, they're going to use terms that are familiar and that could easily catch Christians off guard. They'll use the name of Jesus. They're going to talk about him as a sacrifice. They'll talk about even the resurrection of the dead, who lives eternally. Eternal life is a topic that will be brought up. But in even baptism, if someone would go into that, that is a phrase. All of these things sound familiar. They can easily masquerade themselves into sounding like the one holy Christian and apostolic church. There are a lot of things we recognize. But when we go farther than that, It's really when we get into the nitty-gritty and the troublesome nature of the Jehovah's Witnesses.
You said there's something they don't want to say. What's that?
Well, a lot of things. Really, the way that it differs from historical Christianity, the way that the Christian church of all times and places, as it's come to us through the capital C church, the way that the Christian church has received Christ and all of the scriptures shown, the way that scripture is translated and in the way that it's interpreted, especially thinking about Jesus, they'll say he's a sacrifice, but they don't confess him as being God. Now, these are official positions. Some of them that are held by individual witnesses will differ, of course, like in Christianity. But the idea of who's going to live eternally, where they're going to live, the number of people that will be saved, Armageddon dates, all of these things probably won't come up in that initial conversation.
Now, if you get them in the door or out on the front porch, are they going to be, if I bring my Bible out there, are they going to be using the same book?
Well, they're not going to be. If they're confessing members of the Jehovah's Witness organization, they're going to use their own translation, which they call the New World Translation. And I didn't know a whole lot about this until I had a conversation with a Jehovah's Witness. I knew very little at all. And so as I started doing more research, I found some very fishy things about the translation, about who did it, about a number of key phrases and a number of key interpretations. In talking to some of my professors of biblical languages here at Concordia Seward, of discussing how these things were misinterpreted and then have found their way into their doctrine. They do, on their website, talk about, and they seem very free with, if you have another translation that you are comfortable with now, you can continue to use it. But if you really want the true Word of God, that you would make use of this New World Translation, which is actually a very, very flawed and questionable, not in scholarly translation.
So other than its questionable roots, it sounds like it's a quote-unquote translation of the Bible. We use that word advisedly. That is custom-made to support their definitions of those words, those things you talked about before.
That's very true. So really calling it a translation, which is what they call it, is not an accurate sense. It's a misrepresentation of the original text. And the idea of the transparency that didn't exist in preparing that translation is the first red flag that should go up for anyone who's looking at that or considering that. Because the other major translations, we can go back to the group, the committee, and we can compare it much closer to the original languages.
So let's talk about two things. First, their history, and then what it is they believe, what it is they're trying to communicate in terms of salvation. Give us a brief history lesson of the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Where we're coming in is the late 1800s, and a lot of other sects have been also established on the foundation that mainstream Christianity of the time is in error, and so they came along that line and took several different name changes and different things that went on in that idea, especially the idea about Jesus not being Almighty God and the symbolism of the cross. Those were big aspects as they began. And so from then, it's founded on the idea of the Zionist idea. So we're talking about Jesus coming back and having these Armageddon dates. And those were a big, big part of the original founding of the Jehovah's Witness and the focus that they brought. In my article, I listed many of those Armageddon dates, and the more I searched, the more I found others that certain members of the Jehovah's Witnesses subscribed to. And so when those would pass, as obviously they have, a new date would be set. We miscalculated the first one. Now we're looking for another one.
So, just to pause there, they started as kind of an end times sect of Christianity, and missing the dates tended to shape the evolution of their theology?
That's correct. It's definitely a millennialist, restorationist kind of idea with many of the beliefs that differ from historic Christianity.
Okay, so how do they get to the point where they are today, Jehovah's Witnesses? There's a Kingdom Hall I pass every single night on the highway coming back. What goes on there? What are they doing?
Well, many of their resources, what they're simply doing is taking things from their Watchtower Society. And so many of these things are kind of devotional in nature. They're very family-oriented. So they may be hearing things like you may hear in other places of some feel-good religions, I guess you could put. The idea of sin isn't in there quite so much, but that idea of the end times and the return of Christ, and in good works and holy living in the present and those types of things are included, which we very much can endorse good works, though the motivation is a bit skewed.
What do they believe about how a person is saved, and where does Jesus, their version of Jesus, fit into all of that?
It's a very interesting question, and I wish I had a very good answer, because in trying to pinpoint, even for this article, I found conflicting statements that at one time would refer to Jesus as the substitute for our sin, substitutionary atonement, and over time that would be removed. So Jesus is set up for us as some sort of sacrifice, but it has the guts and really the glory of Christ removed because he does not maintain the status of God. That is removed from his character in their teachings. And so over time, that has changed. And in finding differing beliefs of different Jehovah's Witnesses, different ones of them confess different things. The organization as a whole hasn't really settled in on that and is at best kind of ambiguous about the role of Christ in the salvation of people.
We're talking about the beliefs and practices of Jehovah's Witnesses. Paul Solek is our guest, cantor at St. John's Lutheran Church and School in Seward, Nebraska, author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled Being a Jehovah's Witness. When we come back, a lot of people have simply put it in the shorthand of an ancient heresy, Arianism, that just as Arius did, so do the Jehovah's Witness believe that Jesus is something less than God. Stay tuned.
Somebody ringing the bell. Someone's knocking at the door. Somebody's ringing the bell. Do me a favor. Open the door. Let them in.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. for a limited time. Save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran Thought, Lutheran Substance, Lutheran Music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin on this Wednesday afternoon, August the 27th, talking about the beliefs and practices of Jehovah's Witnesses. Paul Sulik is our guest. Based upon what you said before, it sounds as though it's pretty accurate what often is bandied about, that the modern-day Jehovah's Witness is, at least in the sense of its view of Christ, kind of a modern-day Arian, that ancient heresy that held that Jesus is something less than God.
Yes, and that's where it's so important for Christians to look at the creeds of the church, because these creeds were not just written because someone had extra time on their hands. They're the response of the church to these same heresies. There is nothing new under the sun, because Satan still seeks by night and day to rob us of this treasure and take our hope of bliss away, as the hymn says. So as we look to the Nicene Creed, there's a reason that it confesses these things about Christ. God of God, very God of very God. This is what the church confronted then, and this is still what we're confronting today, whether it be with the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, or others who claim to be part of Christianity but do not meet the test of the Holy Christian and Apostolic Church.
So what do we do when, like I said before, when on a Saturday morning a couple of the Jehovah's Witnesses come to the door, they knock, they're polite, they want to have a conversation? What does a Christian do?
I think it's really important for us right away that we don't slam a door or yell an angry comment. I think having a reaction of fear and hatred is not going to do well to give a clear witness to the gospel of Christ that we have received. With that said, someone without the understanding and the hermeneutical principles that want to assert that in a setting on a Saturday morning in your pajamas, maybe we'll want to respectfully decline a conversation. And you can do that without being rude. However, if you want to engage in that conversation, I think it's really important to welcome them to share what they have and also assert that after that, then you'll get to have a conversation. And what I like to do is remind them that a conversation goes two ways. And so then I get to talk about the historical Christianity, the Christ and all the scriptures shown, and how I get to not confess my own experience, and well, except for my sin, but I get to confess Christ and to really confess Jesus as shown to us in the creeds that confronted the same things that they're bringing now.
I mean, in the course of that conversation, is it, if one knows enough, or if they've told you enough about what they individually, not necessarily their entire organization, but what they individually believe about Jesus, if they say, you know, Jesus was like God but not God, things like that, is it advisable then to say, look, what good does that kind of Jesus really do you? Even if you say he's a substitute for sin, if he is not fully God, then his sacrifice can't be the certain payment for sin, those kind of questions.
Exactly. And that's where we go, because we have our Jesus who given to us, the real Savior of the world, and that is, it's for us. Christ comes only for sinners. We qualify. He has come. So it's so important to confess that, to confess salvation freely given in Christ, because it does fly right in the face of the works righteousness and the kind of quasi-mystical Jesus that is preached by this and many other sects.
One last question here. I understand that Jehovah's Witnesses have a kind of an odd view of eternal life. They are at one time annihilationists. That is, when you die, you're gone, period. You wink out of existence. But they do believe that for a very select few relative to the entire mass of humanity, 144,000, there is something beyond that. What is it?
Well, there's kind of another level of heaven, if you will. The 144,000 number was thrown out there quite assertively toward the beginning, but that was somehow expanded into another realm of heaven. That's how that was explained to me when one of the witnesses was there. It's kind of like heaven, but not quite. And that's as far as they could get in their conversation. And so it's a little bit mystical in the way that that was explained to me.
Do you sense in that their theology is still kind of evolving? They're trying to struggle with these early statements of their authorities and trying to reconcile them with subsequent history that has not seen the return of Christ?
Completely. If I could say one thing in the research leading up to writing this article, in the ideas that I got from the witnesses and then my subsequent research through their literature, it was trying to put them into one category and one belief or answer a question authoritatively is almost impossible because of just that. It's changing, it's evolving, and trying to see what they believe now compared to even 20 years ago has often changed.
Paul Solek is cantor at St. John's Lutheran Church and School in Seward, Nebraska, and he's authored an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine. It's titled Being a Jehovah's Witness. Paul, it's been great. Thanks for being our guest.
Thanks so much.